Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing? Did everybody have an awesome 4th of July? Yeah, I thought it was awesome. It's kind of weird that we had to stop working on Thursday and then go back Friday. Did anybody have to do that? Did that feel weird? Yeah, that felt kind of weird. I'm sorry. It was kind of like a weekend tease. That's okay. Who's ready to praise and worship God? Hallelujah! Come on, let's do our best to bring our best selves forward to Jesus. We don't want to come in all sluggish, just expecting God to move us in our emotions. We want to give our best to Jesus this morning. Amen? Hallelujah! Now this one's new, so you're going to have to keep up. It's fun. I want to see you praising. Come on, say it. just start thanking him for who he is. Who is he to you this morning? He's your deliverer. He's your provider. He is the God above all other gods.
All we want.
Jesus.
Come on and give God praise today. Hallelujah. Come on and give God praise today. You can give more praise than that. Come on, we just told God that we love him. Come on and give him praise and adoration. Because you're worthy, God. You're mighty, God. Nobody can do you like you can, oh Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Man, you're so amazing, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you know this song, come on and sing it with me.
I just want to please your heart.
Come on and sing this with me. I just want to worship.
I just want to worship you.
I just want to see your face.
I just want to see your face.
And I just want to love on you.
I just want to love on you.
Come on and sing that again. Sing, I just want to please your heart.
I just want to.
I just want to worship you. Singing because there was in a position, we all were in a position where he brought us out of it, and he deserves the glory and the honor. So I just can't sit here and just sing, but I gotta worship you, Father God, in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, love on him, just love on him, love on him. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on and sing. I just want to please your heart. Hallelujah.
I just want to.
Where I'm going next, 'cause I'll follow you, Lord, it's all about you. last one.
I just want to please your heart.
Sing, I just want to worship.
I just want to worship.
Come on, slide your hands to heaven. Slide your hands to heaven. Talk
to
Jesus.
I just want to seek your face.
I just want to see your face.
Your presence is here. God, we need you to flow in our lives. Father, that's what brings us into order. Thank you for the corporate anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. And thank you for the corporate anointing that brings us as a whole into unity and into focus and into clarity and into order. But God, we thank you so much for that personal anointing that wells up within us. God, brings our physical bodies, our minds, our lives into order. God, we thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. Today, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Lord, we honor you. We thank you. We just want to say we love you. It's all about you, Jesus. Everything is centered on you. Some of you need to take this moment. We're going to sing that chorus one more time. As we do, you need to bring into order. Bring into order everything back centric to Christ. Come on. Everything into order. Doesn't matter what happened on the way to work. It doesn't matter what your finances, your bank says. It doesn't matter your situation emotionally or physically. It matters that right now you bring everything and bring it to one place. Jesus is centric. Jesus is the center.
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you.
Jesus, we worship you.
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands.
It's all
surrender, 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 surrender.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
Some of you got things all the way from your childhood. You're hanging on, you're hanging on.
It's all.
Come on, give it to Jesus. He'll heal that heart, he'll heal your heart. We worship you, we worship you.
It's all about you.
Sense him, don't you? He's all across the sanctuary right now. He's moving in your life. Come on, talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. Nothing else really matters. Just you. Just you. Just you. Just you. He loves you so much. Some of you even put limits on God's love for your life because you don't think that you deserve certain amounts. You need to know today that God has he's never had a lid on your life. He loves you so desperately. That's why he sent his son Jesus, just for you. Today, just receive that love. Can you say this out loud? I receive. Come on, say it. I receive the love of God. One more time. I receive. I feel the anointing right there. The anointing's coming on your words now. Get ready. I receive the anointing, the love, the passion of God in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know your love? Can you turn to someone and say, oh, by the way, you're loved. Look at that. That was horrible. You turned to give it. Please make your way back to your seats. We're not going to do meet and greet this morning. We want to make sure that our speaker has more than enough time. Praise the Lord. We're so glad you're here on this weekend. It's a phenomenal weekend. Praise God. We're going to have Pastor Rhonda come and receive the offering this morning. Pastor Rhonda.
Hallelujah. Can I share a quick testimony with you? I just love what God is doing. The pastor said no. I'm going to share a testimony with you because I have testimonies every single day of the awesome things God is doing. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. This morning, I just got word. One of the young ladies in our church, her family member was sent into the hospital with colon cancer, and they were doing surgery this morning to remove the colon, and she went in with her unsaved family member and declared that she was healed and lifted her faith up, and they went in and they did not have to remove her colon, and she will be home within 3 days. God is still a miracle working God today. Baby in the first service, our miracle baby that was on oxygen, is now off the oxygen from prayers. God is moving every single day in the miraculous. He is awesome. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, I'd like you to turn with me to the word of the Lord, because that is what we live by. And it's Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 that I want to start with. And it says, to honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from your righteous labors, and with the first fruits of all of your income, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. You know, you may be saying, Pastor Rhonda, why do you get up there every single week and talk about money and give us scriptures about money? You know, I had a revelation from the Lord this week on that. And it would be like us saying, I already know oxygen exists. I've already taken a breath. I don't need to take any more breath. That's not even logical, is it? The word of God, every time it is spoken and goes forth, is spirit and life to you. The more often you can hear it, the better off we are. So let me read a couple of scriptures on that. Philippians 3:1. It says, to keep writing to you over and over of the same things is not irksome to me, and it is a precaution for your safety. And then it says in Hebrews 2, therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The word of God contains power for your finances. It says signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. So when these scriptures are read to you in offering time, it shifts your money from the natural to signs and wonders following your money. Now, how many of you want signs and wonders following your finances? Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration from the word of God. And that's in Deuteronomy 28. The first scripture that we read in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 references back to the same scripture. And it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. Lord, this morning, if you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button. You can give right along with us, or even text to give.
Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. No other name that can save, deliver, and restore. Oh, Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. There is no other name that is greater than.
Praise the Lord. Come on, give God a shout this morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of God? Can you turn to someone next and say, you are the most brilliant individual I know?
Most brilliant. Most brilliant.
Well, why and how? Because you're in the house of God. Amen? You know, it's amazing. Some people say to me, they come to me counseling, oh, pastor, I just need God to do this in my life, and I'm not sure. I say, wow, you missed that sermon 2 weeks ago. Go home. Watch it on TV. You know, honestly, you don't want to miss the messages. There are certain messages that are key to your life. And I just want to encourage and strengthen you. You know, there are certain things that I never just put off. Even if I'm not in town, I'm in church somewhere. Why? Well, because I don't want to miss a word from the Lord. You just never know that one nugget is all you needed to propel you into the next level of your entire life. Amen? So don't ever let your sense world steal your spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we are so blessed. In fact, what I want to do first is I want to say, are there any guests in the house? Listen, we're not going to embarrass you, do strange things, but we have a gift for you. And so we have a young man right here. Is there any other guests in the house? Very good. Over on this side. Very good. Let me see. Oh, young lady right there. Very good. I think we have a gentleman over on that side as well. Did you get yours, sir? Did you get your packet? There we go. Come on, quickly. We have over on this side. Very good. Hey. Is this an afterthought, or? Let me see. Are there any more? We ran out of gifts. There aren't any more. No, come on, quick. Hustle, run. Very good. Praise the Lord. We are absolutely blessed. The gifts are coming to you. Very good. We just want to say thank you so much. Can you give all of our guests a hand clap this morning? Say thank you so much. How was your vacation? Was it good? Looked like you guys had a good time. I'm ready. So I just want to say thank God for you. Thank God for this beautiful day. How many of you got to go out after church and have just an excellent day, get a tan, maybe go to the pool, do something, have fun with your family? It's going to be a great day. But, you know, you are here because you want to hear the word of the Lord. Amen? Yes. And today we have, you know, I don't bring in a lot of speakers throughout the years. Most of the time I bring in very few. I know pastors who bring in guest speakers 1 to 2 times every single month. And they do that. It gives them a break. And, man, you know, it's nice. But I don't want to do that. I believe you need to hear the voice of the spiritual father in the house. Amen? So we can move forward. But more than that, when I bring a guest in, I want to make sure that that guest is going to leave a deposit that's going to change our church. You see, I believe that there are certain divine connections that shift us to where we are, we can now move forward with the correct information. Turn to someone and say, you only know what you know. That's right, you only know what you know. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So there's a need to continue to grow up in Christ, amen? And in that, we're able to go further than we've ever gone before. This morning, we have a general in the faith. Now, there are certain people that come to the house. They're great people. Brother Teddy will be here at the end of this month because of uproar. And I love Brother Teddy, but Brother Teddy is not a general. He is a lieutenant right about now. But we have a general in the house. Brother John Avanzini is with us this morning. He is 83 years old, been in the ministry over 60 years, correct? Over 60 years. And Brother Bob, you'll remember this. We had a guy named Johnny Simmons way back in the 90s in our first church. And he said, Brother John Avanzini is my spiritual father. And we said, well, that's cool. I never would have ever thought we would ever have John Avanzini, who literally has ministered all over the planet, just came back from Asia. He ministers in churches of 30,000 plus people on a normal basis. And yet he's here in the middle of the cornfield in Horse of Heads, New York. Are we blessed or what? Amen. Not just that, he's just with one ministry organization, he's raised over his ministry lifetime with this one organization over $2 billion to fund the gospel. How many of you like Christian television? Some of you don't. But if you do and you get fed by that, it's because this man, God used his life. It's a powerful thing. So today we have the phenomenal privilege. Now, in that, he's part of the fivefold ministry gifts. I want you to get greedy. Turn to someone and say, today's the day to get greedy. That's right. What do we mean by that? Get greedy in the spirit. Man, he's coming up with a deposit. You don't want to miss one word. You don't want to miss one nugget. You don't want to miss one portion of impartation. What he has, he's about to give. And I want to encourage you, let's make him leave tired. Amen. We're so hungry in the spirit, man, you can sense faith. You can see faith. Let's draw everything out of him so he walks out of here going, please, buy me a steak. Amen. So will you welcome with me, Brother John Avanzini.
Glory. Wow. Thank you, Pastor. My. Wow. Woo. Wow. Yes, thank you. Remain standing with me, please, just a few more moments. Quickly say to you that I'm here on two very definite reasons. One is your bishop, Bishop Rick Thomas. He oversees and overshadows my ministry, and I'm in submission to him. And then your great pastors, your pastor, Michael, and then Rhonda. Ministers very powerfully to my wife. She's now, keep her in prayer, please. She wanted me to come. I'm supposed to be here tomorrow, but she asked me, please, to come home. She has some really heavy medical problems, and I thank you if you keep her in prayer. Sister Pat, 81 years old. She's not able to travel with me anymore, but I ask you that. And then, too, I want to tell you a secret. God does not live in a palace. He lives in his people.
Amen.
And you are the people of God. He says you're beautiful for situation. So tell the person near to you that, now give it a little Texas now. Brother John thinks you look real nice. Give him a little Brother John thinks you look nice. Brother John thinks you look real nice. That's good. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I have a subject I want to speak to you about today. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to teach. There's a verse of scripture that I begin with. I was going to come down the steps and sit with you. I did in the earlier service. It happened over just like that with the prophet in Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter, in the 14th verse. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me, so I was very angry. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tilabab and dwelt there, dwelt by the river Chebar, and sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. You know, there was a season, it didn't seem long ago now. I got saved when I was about 20, and I sat in the church right where you're sitting. And I remember my wife had been saved since she was 14, so we had a good foundation in our home about Christianity, and there was no problem about the tithing outside with me, but we got that straightened out. And we got to tithing and giving offerings, and, well, I mean, the bills were all got caught up, and everything was under control. The kids were, everything was more peaceful in the house. The marriage was doing better. But as I sat there, I kept wondering, how can I get that exceeding abundant above all I can ask or think? Because truthfully, when you have enough, it's not enough. Because we've got to feed the hungry and we've got to clothe the naked. There was a time, and you probably, right where you sit now, you're probably in that stage of your Christianity where there's enough. And some of you, maybe there's still not enough, but it's something when you're there. How do you break out into the financial abundance of God? Now, we can break out into the marriage, the abundant marriage. We can get into marriage seminars. We can get the kind of respect for each other. We can learn how to raise our children. And a lot of things come at peace as we live in the house of God. But how do we break out into that exceeding abundant above all we can ask or think? For instance, my wife and I now, one of the many projects that we do, this morning as we were having breakfast here, 250 children in Managua, Nicaragua. They have breakfast every morning and have had for years. As Sister Pat and I have had more than enough. When we had enough, we could tithe and we could give some offerings, but we could not reach out into those other dimensions. I didn't say it in the first service, but in Manila, 5,000 children are fed breakfast every morning, and we pay one-fifth of that bill. We pay, so we take care of 1,000 there. They get fed breakfast every morning. Now, there was a time when I could get breakfast for us and I could get shoes for us. Now, not long ago, we were involved in a shoe distribution with, I think, 5,000 pairs of shoes that came from Nike had given, and we had the opportunity to pay the transportation to move them. See, there's all these things that get bigger than life, but they seem to live just beyond our ability to take care of ourselves. And how do you come to the point that you can see offerings that you make, that they come back 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold? And, you know, a lot of people cry out to me, Brother John, pray the 100-fold, pray the 100-fold. Listen, if you can just accomplish 30-fold, you're going to do all right. You're not going to crash and burn with 30-fold. If every one you put in, 30 come back. So, and then be careful with 100-fold. I got to be careful that my time doesn't get away, because 100-fold doesn't mean 100 times. 100-fold means optimum yield. You follow 30-fold, 60-fold, and then 100-fold. It's like a, man, I got to watch the time. It's like a test. You take a test with 10 questions on it. Your grade's not 10, your grade's 100. You get one that has 50 questions on it, your grade's not 50, it's 100. You get a test with one question on it, and you get it right, your grade's 100. See, 100 is that number that can represent, 100% can represent many other numbers. So Jesus said it'd come 30-fold, 60-fold, or optimum yield under the circumstances. Oh, optimum yield under the circumstances. I quickly go with this. My close friend, Dale Kitchens in Lubbock, Texas, he has the largest cotton farm in the world. Largest. He has more acres of cotton than five big tractors that are run by a satellite guidance system to plows all the fields. Guy on board the tractor, all he does is sit there and keeps, if something goes wrong, he can turn the button off on it. Wealthy, wealthy man. So one year, each year he talks to me about his harvest, and one year I said, how's the harvest? He said, we had blight, and he said one thing and the other was wrong. He said, really? He said, I was the only one that went to the gin and put in some cotton. I didn't have a lot. Covered my expenses, fertilizers, labor. He said, I broke even. I said, how'd everybody else do? He said, well, no one else had a harvest. I said, well, Dale, that was 100-fold. It was the best under the circumstances. But now you have to know when you speak that the blessing is over, it's over. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Did you know there's no small miracles? Every miracle comes out of heaven as big as God. Remember the woman when she had her sons, and they were pouring the oil. He said, go borrow vessels, borrow not a few. It was to pay off the debt on the boys. But she went ahead and got enough stuff together and said, and live thou and thy children to the rest. She carried it on out to a retirement policy. See, every miracle comes out of heaven as big as God, and it's our faith that narrows it down. See, now, how many of you have, I got to watch it. I'll run out of time. How many of you have ever had a house, a car payment? Let's take a car payment. A lot of car payments are pretty common. You had a car payment and you couldn't make it, and you was praying to God, God, I need this money for this car payment. How many of you had him come through and get you the money? Why didn't you just ask him to pay the whole thing off? I mean, see, once the money's moving, why don't you move a load of it? I mean, are you understand what I'm saying? We limit God. We limit God. We limit God. But anyway, I'm telling you about Dale. And so now Dale is the kind of a guy that says, you know, he just kept on. Said, you know, I believe for this. I believe for that. And it didn't happen. Brother. Next year, he was the only one that had seed. The seed that they took out of that cotton that he had. They said, you want to sell it? He says, do I whim? He said, I always sell it. But he said, no, store it. And the next year when they sold that seed, he had as much money off of that seed as he would have had off his harvest. See, so don't, just because the tap stops for a minute, don't get to thinking, well, that's the end of a miracle. Because that's where it shuts off. It's measured to you according to your faith, according to your faith, you follow? So take the full measure, take the full measure. And if it doesn't totally come in the way you want it to, just keep your mouth shut about it missing. Just keep talking. It's coming. It's going to happen. It's still happening, and the rest of it will come in. Okay, now, I got to get to my message. How do we know? How can we give an offering that God will answer? You know, God is, he owns everything. Now, I'm not going to preach, so don't look for all kind of excitement and run back and forth. I'm just going to put a ball of information into your mind. How does God establish value? When he owns everything. Psalms 50, 10 through 12 tells us the beasts of the forest are his. The cattle upon a thousand hills are his. The 12th verse says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. He would not turn to you for support. He's there. You know, it's not the job of the children to support the father. It's the job of the father to see to the children. So anyway, we know that. And let me give you a little chore here. Put this in your mind. Let's say that I gave you a cow. And now I'm going to ask you to sell the cow. I'm going to ask you to sell the cow to God. Are you in that thought? Can you imagine yourself? You're going to go sell God a cow. Now, as you're walking off with the cow, I say, oh, by the way, remember, he's not a motivated buyer because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And then, wait, before you go, by the way, the cow you're trying to sell him, it belongs to him too. Here's the truth, and when you know this truth, you'll know better how to give. You'll know better how to give in your offerings. God cannot set value on anything because he owns everything. Value is not established out of surplus. Value is established out of shortage. And God has no shortage of any kind. He doesn't need a cow. He doesn't need a car. He doesn't need one thing that he needs. So he can't establish the value. He can't establish the value on a thing. You follow? But there's a way that God establishes value. And it's in a verse of scripture that we have so many times. We've heard it and went over it. And still, we miss a little part of it. Let me go with you to it. I want to move on to, we're going on to Mark, the 12th chapter. 12th chapter. So, we're in a study mode. We're not in a preaching mode, okay? Mark, the 12th chapter, the 41st verse. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Now, first thing I want you to notice is he sat there and beheld how. Not how much, but how. It's called an interrogative word. He is literally interrogating. He's going into the heart of the man. Because remember, 1 Samuel 16:7 says that he doesn't look on the outward part of a man, but he looks upon the heart. When God is deciding about you and things about you, he's not looking at your outward appearance. He's looking at your heart. And now Jesus is seeing how the people give, not how much. He's not standing there figuring, oh, is there going to be enough to meet the needs here at the temple? He's looking at it, and he's looking into their hearts, and he sees value moving. There's value moving here because many that are rich cast in much, and rich people can put up a pretty good flurry of money whenever they get in the mood to it. 42nd verse. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites with make a farthing. And he called on them and said unto them, verily I say unto thee, this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For, now here's why they did it. For all they did cast in of their abundance. That word means surplus, overflow, discretionary funds. Not their, these are monies that they can just spend however they want. Everything's paid. All the bills are paid. This is discretionary money, okay? Now, but she of her want, now you got to catch that. She wanted something. She wanted something. Now, many of your translations are going to put penury or poverty in there. That's not what it is. It is the word that is used is a word that speaks of her desire. She desired something. You get to wondering, what would a widow woman want? What would she be wanting? Well, probably she would be wanting a good husband. Some of you today in the room here, You're looking for a spouse. But I'm going to tell you what, it's slim pickings out there right now. The mental gyrations that the music of the day has done on the minds of young people. My grandsons, I watch them. They're into their 30s before they got married, just trying to find somebody that wasn't crazy. Some girl that wasn't crazy. Foolish, crazy girl. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's out there like that. But let me tell you what. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he got a fantastic woman. I mean, a powerful woman for God. She was a princess in his life now. He's the only man she's ever known. Loves him with all her heart. Submitted to him. They're out there, but let God help you find them. Let God help you find them. And same thing with women. You're looking for a husband. My two daughters, they got off into bad marriages, ended up with children, and the husband were bozos. They're on their way somewhere. I remember when the hunt was on for the second husbands. And Sherry, one day, she's telling me, she said, "Dad, there's a young man wants to take me out." I said, "Well, is he a nice fellow?" She said, "Nice man." I said, "Well, is she going to go with him?" She says, "Well, Dad, he's bald-headed." I said, "Baby, that's not the issue. The issue is, will he work? Is he a worker?" I said, "You had curls. That first one was curly. You had your curls. Now you got to have, what you need now is a worker. You need a worker." So anyway, it says she wanted something. Her offering was not just, "I love you, Lord, and I just want you to have this. It's because I'm so wonderful. You're so wonderful." She said, "Lord, I'm giving you this, but there's something I want. There's something I want." And she goes on. She cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, the men cast in valuable, very valuable. But when you come down to a widow and takes all she has, all her living, and puts it in the offering, you're now into a dimension called precious. Precious. There's a difference in gifts. It can be insignificant. A gift to God can be significant. But there's a level it hits where it's precious. And when it's precious, I found, sitting right in the pews where you are, I found that all through the Bible, when the precious moved, God's hand moved. Every time the precious moved, God's hand moved. And I now have exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. The inheritance for my children is in place, and their children's children is in place. We have two domiciles now, two houses, all paid for. Vehicles are all paid for cash. By the way, actually, the last vehicle was a gift to me. A church in Asia gave me a CT6 Cadillac just two or three weeks, maybe 2 months ago, a year ago, maybe a year ago, half a year. Time doesn't just stand still for me. Maybe that's why I hadn't gotten any older. But what I'm saying to you, I have exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. And I started out sitting right where you are, laboring as a bricklayer, four bricklayers, mixing mud, and then laying brick. And then also had to go a half a year back to high school to get out because I have a terrible dyslexia. You've probably noticed it when I try to read scripture. But I have to sometimes read the scripture 6-8 times before I can even figure out what it's saying. But I have sit, and just like yesterday, getting ready to speak here, I could have gone seen a lot of things in this area. I said, "No, sir, I have to study." I spent the whole day with this message that I can bring it to you line upon line, precept upon precept, the way that it is in the book. But the truth is, when the precious moves, God's hand moves. Because here this woman is, and God turns and says, "This woman, she's given more than all of them that gave." So God shows us something here. He does not set the value of your offering. He does not say that was a high offering or that was a low offering. You set the value for your offering because God can't set value. God has everything. There's nothing he wants. Everything in the world he has. Are you grasping what I'm saying? So when you make that checkout and you say, and I see people with money, they all of a sudden think, "This might be the biggest gift in the room today." It might be the biggest gift, but it might not be the one that moves God's hand. Because God's hand moves when the precious moves. When the precious moves, God's hand moves. And let me say this. When I had little, it was easier for me to give big than it is now that I have much. Because sometimes and I'll bring it to you in a minute whenever I talk to you about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. He almost didn't do it. It was so big. But we'll talk about that in just a minute, okay? Are you still with me, okay? Here's what I find. Whenever the hand of God moved, when the precious moved, the hand of God moved in this woman's life. Now in Luke 4, we're going to find here the precious moves God's hand again. There's a woman who gets help, a widow. Terrible famine comes, Luke 4, 25 through 26. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were closed up for 3 years and 6 months, so that there came a great famine over all the land. And yet Elijah was not sent to a single one of them, but unto Zarephath in the country of Zidon, to a woman who was a widow. Are you hearing this? A heathen woman is the only one he was sent to. All the Israeli women, all the Israeli widows, not a one of them he was sent to. Not any of them. What's going on here? What happened here? This is something pretty interesting. Now, we come to the place where he arrives, where he's supposed to be. And he says in the 1 Kings 17, 8 through 14, and the word of the Lord came unto him, speaking of Elijah, and arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and behold, behold, I have commanded a widow, that woman there, to sustain thee. Now watch this. You're going to meet a very poverty-stricken woman, and she's been commanded by God to sustain the prophet. Now, please stop looking at how much you have when you're going to do something for God. Just be sure you're doing what he wants you to do, and he will get the finances to you. He will get them to you. You follow? It's just like, look at your building here. Look at your building here. There was a time I saw a little building where you all started. I mean, what happened? You can't have that building starting in that building, but what happened is you got a word from God where you were going, and when you get a word from God where you're going, the money will meet you there, and you'll get the thing done. Now, please know, sometimes we have to borrow. I had to borrow to buy my first houses, but then you have to come to a point where you say, this is the last time we borrow for a house. And let me say this to you about being rich. I don't want to show hands here, but how many of you inside of you just got that desire to be rich? You showed hands anyway. That's good. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about getting rich. You don't get rich in a day. But if you get on what's being taught in this church and what's in the Word of God, you won't get rich in a day, but there'll be a day that you know you're going to be rich. There'll be a day that you know you're going to be rich. I remember that day just as clear that I knew there's coming a day that there'll be exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think, because I learned how to move the hand of God. And that's what I'm talking to you about here at this time. Are you grasping? Okay, so we see, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he gets there, the last part of that 10th verse, he asked for a little vessel of water. They've got to have some water to drink. Now watch what he does. He asks for the most valuable thing in the land. The most valuable thing in the land. And the woman goes to get the water. But nothing changes. Nothing changes. God has water. He has water all over the planet. If there's any water in outer space, it belongs to him. He's flush with water. He's got water. Didn't move him. But now there's something happening here. A boy is dying. And that mama saved some meal to make him a cake, his last meal. Now that you get into the precious. When you get to someone's last meal, you come into the precious. And the man of God, he helps her. Let me read just a little further, and then we'll get to that. I'm jumping the gun. And she said, and the 12th verse, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I'm sorry, I got to go to the 11th. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread. Oh, I'll give you the water, sir. But this is special. He says, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, and that we may eat it and die. Last meal. And Elijah said, fear not. Let me say this to you. You know when Jesus sent Peter to get the fish, the coin out of the fish's mouth? Now listen close. He said, go take a hook. He was a net fisherman. He didn't fish with hook. So he's telling him to do something different. This is not the way he's used to seeing fish come out of the water. So now, and when it comes up, he says, thou shalt open his mouth, and then the coin will come out. See, you guys are saints. You're born again. But you fish. The Bible says you're the fish. But the fish don't just open their mouth and start spitting out coins. You have to teach them how to open their mouth. Teach them how to open their mouth. Sister, when you stand here and teach every week what the Bible says about this, you are meeting the people's need. The outfits that just run a box in the back to drop your money in, have special drives when they come by the house and get you to sign up into the budget. All they're doing is raising money to keep the building operating. When you're in a place like this, and remember this, Paul said, no other church communicate. Well, I'm gonna saying too much. No other church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. You know what he said? There aren't many churches like this church. You go all over town. You might find one other, maybe two. If you're lucky, it'd be two, but probably none, because there's not a plethora of churches that teach seed time and harvest, that teach giving and receiving. You're in a very special church that you are being taught these things, and it's not to get money from you. It's not to get money from you. Let me say this. If you just went to the box in the back and nothing said about it, this building wouldn't, you could have four services on Sunday in this building, because people don't want to go anywhere where they talk about money, and that's why most of them don't have any money. You understand? But if you're here, you're learning how to build finances. Also, Pastor, and I don't know, Pastor, I may have to not even finish the message. I got so many things hitting me right now. I got to tell you that the third time I'm here, your people's potential is not being reached. It's not that it's not being put before them, but you have to know about spirits. Now, I'm not talking about the kind that possess people, but I'm talking about the kinds that hover over a city or hover over an area. You go to New York City, you immediately feel that spirit of New York City. You get out some places in Texas, you immediately feel that spirit. You just get that craving for barbecue, and you want to know when the road. See, like Fort Worth, where I live, there's a rodeo, a national rodeo every Friday night and Saturday night, and a barbecue joint on every corner. I mean, it's the spirit down there. But there's a spirit in this part of the world not to talk about money. And if you want to live under the prince and the power of the air of this area, then you just got to stay with his rules. But if you want to break out of that, you got to realize that just like the people are being trained how to get saved, once they're saved, they're being trained how to take and have their car payment off, their house paid off. And Pastor, I'm going to tell you, this church has to be paid off. Amen. Debt needs to be paid. Amen. But different than most people think. The way you pay a church off is you get your people out of debt. Right. When your people are out of debt, the church will go out of debt. Do you follow? So churches all over the country are starting out-of-debt programs to get the church out of debt. And if you have an out-of-debt program here, it needs to be one to get you out of debt. And if you'll do that, it won't be long, the church will be out of debt. Are you following? And I'm so far off the subject right now. But I feel pulling on my garment. Pretty nice inside of that thing, isn't it? Get up, Pastor. Let me show you. Birds of the feathers flock together. All right, I've got to get back on this message. So he says, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after for thee and for thy son. She was planning the last meal. Precious, she gives it. And thus saith the Lord of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word which the Lord spake by Elijah. Are you watching this? Here's a woman starving to death, and she releases the precious. And the hand of God moves, and she makes it through the famine. No other widow woman had that happen. Not only that, but she carried the prophet through that, because when she heard the news that the prophet was going to be there for her to see about, she didn't have anything but a little oil and a little barrel of crude. But once you commit to do something for God, God will bring the finances. You know, I've had people ask me, say, you know, if I sow this money and I get, if I make the vow and I get the money, do you think that kind of miracle can happen? I said, that's not the miracle. The miracle is when God puts it in your hand, well, you go ahead and put it in the offering plate. Yes. Are you following what I'm saying? Ananias and Sapphira, they thought it was a good idea to give until all of a sudden it got in their hands and said, whoa, we can take a cut out of that ourselves. Are you getting anything out of this? A woman called Hannah. Hannah, beautiful name. Hannah gave her precious son to God. You know, there was a man named Elkanah, 1 Samuel 1, starting in the second verse. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah, whatever her name is. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Fifth verse says, But unto Hannah he gave, I don't mean to read that. He gives a lot of money to Hannah. He's very generous to Hannah, and she has no children. 10th verse, things start happening. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. You know, I've had so many times when I really needed something to happen in my life, I didn't have the money. I made the promise. I made the promise to God. Don't be afraid to make promise to God. Lord, you make a promise to everybody else. You promise on your car. You promise on your credit card. You promise on your house. They trust you with your taxes all the way to the end of the year before they collect it. I mean, you're continuously in this process of making vows. You buy a house and you say, for 30 years, I'm going to give you $1,500 a month. That's a pretty big vow. But then sometimes if you don't have the finances in hand that you need to do what God is saying in your heart, go ahead and make a vow. Go ahead and make a vow. But then this, if you can't keep it, don't just live with that. After a few months or so, come in, talk to pastors, ask to be released from the vow. You follow what I'm saying? Don't live with I'm taking way too long. But anyway, the precious moved in that woman's life and the hand of God moved. Hannah, she finally comes and she makes that vow. She said, if you give me a man child, I'll give him to you. And you know the story. She goes home. And as soon, listen to that 19th verse. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Just like that, she's with child. Also between the 20th chapter and the 21st chapter of Genesis, 25 years have passed that Abraham is waiting to have this child with Sarah. 25 years. And then he's at Abimelech's house, and he prays for Abimelech's wife and his concubines, and their wombs were all closed, and the wombs opened, and in the next verse, Sarah conceives. Ephesians 6:8, whatever good thing you cause to happen for anybody else, God will cause that same thing to happen to you. This thing about giving and doing what God says to do, it is so powerful. He's ready to move. He likes to move in finances, but spirits of a region will suppress it. Preachers trying to raise money, all kind of goofy things. Christian television has probably exposed the church to a mess. Every 30 minutes there's an offering, all day long, all night, every 30 minutes another preacher shows up and takes an offering. It's got to where we're sick of offerings, but the truth is the problem doesn't hurt them. It hurts the people, because the people have to know that if they will be right with God in their finances and if they know how to use the offering is there so that you can move things into your life that are missing in your life. God will multiply it back to you. Well, Hannah, she does that, and the next verse in the Bible tells us that she had 7 children after Samuel. Samuel was delivered after the first year to Eli, and then 7 children came into her life. The womb was opened. When the precious moves, the hand of God moves. Are we okay? Yes. Protocol was broken. You know, Jewish protocol was very powerful. Very powerful Jewish protocol. I mean, they had rules. And one of them was that a Jew could not go in a Gentile's house. It was not written in the Bible, in any of the old scriptures, but it was their protocol. And protocol can be sometimes your tradition sometimes can be stronger than the word. And so we see Jewish protocol broken with an offering. Luke 7, 2 through 7. A certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him and ready to die, the third verse, when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto them the elders of the Jews, beseeching Jesus that he would come and heal his servant. Fourth verse. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loved our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Now, how many of you know that's a precious amount of money to build a synagogue? And the next verse says, then Jesus went with them. Are you getting this? This heathen, he moves the precious into the kingdom of God. And when the time comes that the hand of God must move, Jesus is on his way to his house. Breaking protocol. I hope you're catching all that I'm saying to you. You know, a precious offering brings the apostle Peter to minister at the Gentile, to the first Gentile to be born again. Acts 10, 1 through 5. Is it okay if we just have scripture on scripture? Is that okay? Acts 10, 1 through 5. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much. Now, you look that word up. It means very significant amounts. It's not just who dropped pennies on little offering, little cups or book hats that were turned upside down with beggars in the street. He gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw a vision about the ninth hour of the day, and the angel of the Lord coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he said, what is it, Lord? And the angel said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call one for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Are you understand what you're reading here? This is the first Gentile to get the gospel. How did they pick the first Gentile? How did God pick the first Gentile? Was it paper, rock, scissors? How did he do it? I mean, how did he pick the first Gentile? Well, he probably took the nicest man in town. No, he went and found a man that was giving, had literally stacked into a memorial. And when it was time, that precious gift that man gave brought Simon Peter to his house. And him and 100 soldiers got saved. That centurion had 100 under him, and the whole house got saved. Is what we see when the precious moves, the hand of God moves. It's constant. And please catch this. You got to watch that you don't have a Bible that's stopped at the end of the book of Acts. It's still going on. You just heard today about a lady that was going to have colon removed and no colon removed. She was supposed to go home in 10 days. I overheard your conversation. She's going home in 3. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, you're writing the book of Acts right now. You're writing the last chapters of the book of Acts right now. The thing hasn't stopped. It says, oh, you know, in Bible times, hey, I'm in Bible times. I live in Bible times. Yeah, yeah. These things are still happening to me. I don't know about you. They're happening to me. Now, there's a woman with a box of alabaster ointment, spankered, costly perfume, said it was precious. Mark 14, 3 through 9. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And there was some that had indignation with himself. First verse. And said, why is this ointment being waste? Fifth verse. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. She has wrought a good work on me. And he goes on to 8th verse. She's done what she could. 9th verse. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial to her. Can you imagine that offering that she gave that day, that it's been memorialized? Every place the gospel's preached, they know this woman. Well, what happened? What was so precious about that ointment? The theologians are locked on the fact from what they know about scripture, parallel scriptures. That was her dowry. That was a good husband. That was a good life for her children. But she decided, I'm going to put it into the hands of God. I'm going to put this precious thing, and I'll let God choose the right man for me. I'll let God bring the right person in my life. Are you grasping what I'm saying to you? I'm telling you, when the precious moves, the hand of God moves along with it. Hard saying. Give you a hard saying right now. Can you take a hard saying? God was a killer of mankind till he gave his most precious son for mankind. Jericho slaughtered the whole city. Time and again, death, destruction. Earth opens up. People fall into it. Flood came. Ever living human being choked out on. You're talking about an angry God. And then all of a sudden, he gives his only son. But now watch how precious he was. Now don't get upset till you hear all of this. Jesus is not eternal. The Father's eternal. The Word is eternal. And the Spirit's eternal. Jesus, the Word, became flesh. And so 2,000 years ago, this eternal Father, can you imagine having a Father's heart through all of eternity and no son? He didn't have a son. He had the Word and the Spirit. But when the Son was finally born, just 32 years after he was born, he gives him, not for the greatest prize on earth, he gives him for sinners, for sinners. And when he gave that precious son, he's never lifted his hand against man since that day. It appeased God. Can you picture what I'm telling you now? God himself, this angry God, all of a sudden, he gives the precious. And when he gives the precious, his whole attitude changes. And all these people are saved. Now, let's pick up with the son. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know what he's saying? Lord, is there a plan B? Let this cup pass from me. He falls on the ground and said, I don't want to do this. Here's what comes from that. When you get in Hebrews, the 12th chapter and 2nd verse, it says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Here, what's he doing in the garden? He's so down. See, he was looking at the cost of the offering. But once he looked up at the prize for the offering, joy filled him. You can't give the precious if you just sit there and look at it and think, oh, God, I can't give this. Get your eyes off of the gift and get your eyes on the prize. And when you put your eyes on the prize, you'll joyously put it into the hands of God. And the hand of God will move into your life in a tremendous way. I want to now, just quickly, and I'm going to, in Genesis 42 and on, about four chapters, and you're Bible people, so I can just cruise over it with you. I don't want to go too long. No sense having the Presbyterians beat us to the restaurant today. Just over a good message. But, you know, Joseph, his brothers, sell him into slavery. But they did him a favor because sometimes, you know, when you, if you stay under the covering of the good life and of all the protections, you can miss the best. But here he is, all of a sudden he's in prison. He's a registered sex offender. He's got, looks like nothing's going to come of his life. But he ends up in the second chariot, because of prophecy that God dropped in him and that he was able to speak a word of peace to the king. But now a famine comes, and his dad sends the boys to go get corn. And they go to Egypt, and when they're there, Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize Joseph. And Joseph has some fun with him. And then finally, you know, he comes down. And he says, you know, I think you're spies. I'm going to put you all in prison. And one of them just calls out, please, please, let me stay. But this food's got to get back to Dad. And he said, okay, but under one condition. If you come back, I want you to bring Benjamin with you. Oh, Benjamin, that's Dad's favorite. Oh, Dad, we hardly even get to talk to Benjamin. He knows since we lost Joseph, he doesn't even let us around Benjamin. So anyway, it goes on. They bring the food back. They tell Jacob, we're going to have to take Benjamin when we go back. And Jacob said, no, under no circumstances will Benjamin go to Egypt with you guys. So they're there eating out of these sacks. The Bible's real clear that they fill their sacks with corn. And the corn's all eat up. And finally, Jacob has to say, hey, we've got to have more corn. He said, well, Dad, we're not going to get to see the man if we don't have Benjamin with us. And finally, he says, take Benjamin. And he takes Benjamin. The joy comes over Joseph. And he reveals himself, I'm your brother. And then when he sends him back, you remember they were eating out of sacks? He says, now take your wagons. Take your wagons. Take your wagons out. And the Bible says, and when Jacob saw the wagons coming, child of God, let me tell you, sacks run out. I get my groceries in sacks. And I'll guarantee you, I have more sacks at the end of the week than I do groceries. But God wants to change you off of sacks. He wants to put you in the wagon loads. You can feed the hungry. You can clothe the naked. You can pay people's mortgages off. Pat and I have done it. You can give cars, probably, I guess, half a dozen cars or more we've given to people in different times. But you can't do it unless you get to that exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Well, Brother John, I'm not educated to do that. I'm not educated to do it either. God picked the right person when he picked me. You say, well, Brother John, you're fortunate to be in America, yeah, but I'm an immigrant. I was born in South America, Dutch Guiana. We came poor, didn't have two nickels Daddy didn't have, barely passage to get us in. From Aruba, we skipped to Aruba, and from Aruba into Miami, and then Miami down to the Gulf Coast. And I worked as a bricklayer, laborer first. But I tell you, I want for nothing. Not because of my inheritance of any kind. I have no inheritance from my parents. But what I have is my Father in heaven has given me exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think, because I learned how he thinks. I learned how he decides what my offering is. Because it's so easy to do something significant, but still not have it be really what we're capable of doing. And, you know, God didn't just say, okay, crucify a couple of angels. Throw in two more cherubims. So crucify some cherubims with it, too. That's significant. That's significant. Throw in an archangel. Throw them in. Crucify them all. No, he took his precious. His precious. And he gave him. Now watch the verse. The only guaranteed harvest in the Bible. There's only one guaranteed harvest in the Bible. Psalms 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. When do you sow in tears? You sow in tears whenever the seed is short, when there's not abundance of seed. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, you see that? That's guaranteed. Doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When the precious seed goes into an envelope and you focus on what you want from God and you get serious, because now faith is a powerful thing, but faith has a twin sister. Either one of them, you have them alone, they can't get anything done. Faith, and you're going to think I'm going to say patience? No. Expectation. Expectation. If you're not expecting anything, nothing's going to happen. Either one of those sisters by themselves can't get a thing done for you. But if you have faith and expectation, the things happen. Give you the illustration of that. What am I doing? I shouldn't take this time. You remember the guy that was laid at the gate beautiful? Simon and John, James and Peter came. John, James, I think it is, and Peter came. And he'd heard Jesus preach every time he was at the temple. That guy had been laid there every day, and he heard Jesus every time. Never got out of his sickness with Jesus' preaching. But this time he looked up at Simon Peter expecting to receive something. And now Simon Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean that they were poor. Read up about six verses and you'll find out they had all things in common. Everybody's money went into a common treasury. So they're standing in the street and they say, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I unto you. And he's in this expectation. Boom, picks him up and he's walking. Are you understanding? You have to have expectation along with faith. And today, what I'd like to do, I'd like for you to, you know, quickly I say this. If I came here and held a healing meeting and then didn't lay hands on anybody, that'd be kind of freaky, wouldn't it? Or if I preached a salvation message and then didn't have an altar call, it'd be kind of freaky. So here I've taught you on finances, But the whole church would think it's okay just to sit down and not have a demonstration. But we need to have a demonstration of this, how it works in your life, so you can see it, so you can use it again and again. So I want you to take that envelope that has seed offering on it. It's out there by you. Would you take it? And first thing, before you write anything else out on the back, I want you to write the thing that needs to happen in your life. What's the next thing that needs to happen in your life? What has to happen next? What is the next thing that has to happen in your life for you to move up into the financial position that you need to be? Is it a car that has to be paid off? Is it a credit card? Is it, oh Lord, I hate this. I didn't want to believe it's in here. Is it a title loan that some of these sharks have gotten your title, lent you money on it? Whatever it is, why don't we trust God with it? Why don't we take and see if we can just write that down and believe it and put expectation with it. And if you'll make what you give precious to you, you'll see it happen, and it'll happen quickly. Now, by the way, if you don't do it, that's okay too. Just keep your eyes open, because you can be a witness to what happened to other people. You know, you need some folks just to say, I saw it. I was there. I saw it happen. So, but I want to pray a special prayer over your offering. We're going to lay it up here in just a moment. Be at peace. If you don't want to give, you don't have to give. The information you got is good information. Study it. Look at it. Give it an opportunity to work in your spirit. Maybe at another time you can put it to work. But if you have something that has to happen, maybe it's a contract that has to be signed. Maybe it's a piece of equipment that has to come into your inventory of equipment for you to double your business. What is it? Is it a credit card that has to be paid? I don't know why I'm on title loans, but I hope there's no one here that's taken their title down and borrowed money on it. God help you. I pray with you right now that that's broken and you're out of that quickly, quickly. That's like going to the slaughterhouse and offering yourself up. Whatever it is, would you just write it down now? And then, now you make your checks, whatever you're going to make, to the church. I won't be getting your names. I'm not going to be sending you letters every month. The church will give me a check for whatever it is. And I'll pray the prayer in just a minute. Are you peaceful with everything, sir? Another minute or two, and when you have yours done, you just walk up and drop it somewhere on the platform here. We'll have it gathered up in a moment, and I'll pray over it. And then I ask you again, please remember my wife in prayer. There has to be a change. Something has to change. So just pray that her health moves in the right direction. As you're done, you just, those of you who finished, just bring them up as soon as you have them. Just drop them off up here. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Holy, holy, holy. He's worthy, 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 worthy. Glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah, glory. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Urebarabaraba, sibarababa. He's worthy, he's worthy. Glory, 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 glory. Mighty God, mighty God. King of kings and Lord of lords, he's the mighty God. Hallelujah. Urabarabarabasi barababa. Holy, 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 worthy. Okay. Wave at me if you still have your offering not quite finished yet. Wave at me. I'll hold for you. I'll hold. I'll hold for you. A lot to do with businesses. I felt both services a lot to do with business. Business is increasing. Worthy, 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 worthy. When the precious moves, the hand of God moves. All from cover to cover in the Bible. from cover to cover. Anyone else? Wave at me for someone else. I'll wait for you. Ushers, gather these up, please, and bring them to me over here. Pastor, would the pastors, would you come and be with me? Uru habarabasi barababa. Holy, holy, holy. Still one coming here. And folks, would you stand, please, as we pray? One quick question before we pray. Will you let me come back sometime? Thank you. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Is there another one? Wave at me quick if there's still another one has to come. Have her hand extended this way, please. God, I thank you there's more than enough, that you would not make a planet and put more people on it that it could properly take care of. I know, Lord, there's more than enough, but the wealth is in the hands of the wicked. Father, I ask that you remove that wealth from their hands and put it in the hands of the children of God. I speak now that this is multiplied 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, and God, the precious, moves your hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
Isn't it great to hear a word that's going to change your life? Now, I just want to explain some things. My wife and I see this all the time. In fact, she just gave just yesterday, and by the time she got back to the house, somebody had already given what she had given. We worked at about the same timetable. An envelope was given to me to give to her. They didn't give it to me. They gave it to her. I don't know why that is, but... And it was the exact same amount that she had already given. God is able. He loves you. And I just want to encourage you. As your pastor, there's nothing more frustrating than dealing with your own money. Can I hear an amen? When you learn God's ways, you will learn to live blessed.
Yes.
When you learn that, then you don't have to be stressed. Amen? I'd rather be blessed than stressed any day. Can I hear an amen or am I?
Amen.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your blessing us.
Yes.
Thank you, God, for your word is practical and real. Lord, it's not just a bunch of words that I've set on a page to get us out of hell, but God, it gives us the ability to live life successfully as examples on this earth. Lord, you proved that with the children of Israel. Wherever the children of Israel marched after they were delivered from Egypt, the land was afraid of them. The land recognized them because they knew you were with them in war, but more than just war, also in blessing. So, Lord, we declare that over your house in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, I declare that this house will be known as a wealthy church. Lord,
yeah.
Not just people coming in that are wealthy, but, Lord, raising people out of poverty into wealth. Lord, that we will be the ones hiring in the community. That we will be the ones providing and producing production in this region. That, Lord, even the unsaved community will say, people from that church are truly impacting our region financially. Lord, I declare that the poor will know, will feed them, clothe them, love them as we are now. But Lord, increase it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your vision is to love people.
Yes.
Use us to love people for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, oh, two more minutes if you'll just keep your head bowed. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now listen, somebody said to me once, Pastor, you just got done preaching on finances. Why would you give an altar call? Because the word works. The word is alive. And the word will save whether you're talking about money or you're talking about toes. If it's in the word, whatever you talk about is anointed. So today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, we had a young person saved this morning, already in first service. You need Christ as your Savior and you want him in your life. I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone here this morning? I'm not going to wait long. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, thank you as we go out of this place. You are just going to use our lives in this region for your glory. Increase, Lord, I pray for those that are struggling today, Lord, with this message. Struggling with those, God, who have a poverty mentality. I pray, God, you'll break it in the name of Jesus. And that, Lord, you'll loose them into blessing so they will see it's much better to be blessed than cursed. Much better to be prosperous than always just hoping to make it by, that God will be the greatest givers in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have an awesome week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Make sure you bring somebody next week to the house of God.
Jesus the same yesterday.
Your spirit
lives
within me.
Now say this, my victory.
My victory.